having forgiven us all our sins. By canceling the record of the debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Now, if you are still in Romans 5, this is what he did while we were powerless. Verse 6, while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. You might say, well, yeah, we all know we're weak. None of us is perfect. We do the best we can, and we struggle, and we try to live for God, but we're weak. We can't do it. But that's not what he's talking about here. This is Romans chapter 5, and by the time he gets to Romans 8, he's going to say, what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. He is saying you are powerless to save yourself. That's why the very next phrase is Christ died for the ungodly. This weakness is the truth of our heart that we are not able to save ourselves. If you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, you know it. You know the truth of your heart. If you are ungodly, you know it. And in Romans 5, Christ died for you, for the ungodly, for me. One will scarcely die for a righteous man, though for a good person they might even die. But the message here is you are not good. There is none good. And before I could be good, while I was still weak, powerless, while I was still ungodly, Christ died for me. Good Friday. And then in verse 8, but God showed his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you believe the lie that somehow I just got to get my act together. I can just somehow quit sinning and then I can come to God. I can come to him and I will show him how good I am. No, it is while we, me, us, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The very next verse, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, he died, his purchase. He stood between me and my penalty and it paid forever the price of my forgiveness. And much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. He is saying God will no longer judge you because he judged Jesus. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But in that verse, there is condemnation. He condemned sin in the flesh in his son Jesus. And then verse 10. And here is the connection from Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Every one of these three statements, what we are powerless to do to save ourselves, is connected to the death of Jesus, the cross, Good Friday. Now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his. Do you see it in the verses? What is it in verse 10 of Romans 5? By his life. We will be saved by his resurrection life. These are words of this benediction. The God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. He is ours. We know it. The great shepherd of the sheep. Did your heart not burn within you when Leona read the scriptures? Did your heart not just somehow be drawn into this passage in Ezekiel 34? Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. I will seek for my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places. I will feed them. I myself will be their shepherd and they my sheep. And I will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost and I will bring those who have strayed. Maybe you are here and you have strayed from God. The shepherd is alive. The grave could not hold him. The shepherd is alive, and he is seeking those who have strayed. If you are weak, if you are a sinner, if you are an enemy of God, the shepherd is alive, and he seeks you. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. Good Friday, connected to the resurrected Savior, a shepherd. I'm not sure if you've ever thought about Jesus resurrected from the dead as a shepherd. But in Hebrews this week, it began to make great sense to me. I've never preached on this passage before. I've only ever used it as a benediction. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. These are the words of Ephesians 2. Turn in your Bibles to page 1159, Ephesians 2. These words connect not only from Good Friday, but to Resurrection Sunday. And you, Ephesians 2 verse 1, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. The passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and our minds, were by nature children of wrath. We were under the judgment of God, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And here it is in verse 6. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our shepherd is alive. And as his sheep, he raises us up with him, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And then these amazing verses we most of us know. For by grace you have been saved by faith. And that is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. You cannot make peace with God. God makes peace with you. Enemies of God. Enemies of God have been reconciled. And then we come back to our benediction. That's the foundation of our God of peace, who reconciles us. If you are here this morning and you know that your heart is ungodly, that you are a sinner, that you are an enemy of God, then I have good news for you. Our shepherd is alive. And he seeks you. He gathers the strays. He is a God who makes peace because he is the God of peace. There's three powerful pictures in this benediction of what this resurrected shepherd does. The first one is this great shepherd is the shepherd who saves. We see it right here in these verses. He saves those who are a sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant. It's everything we've said already in Romans 5 and Ephesians 2. He is a shepherd who saves. And we know these verses, right? From Easter. We know the verses of Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. And upon him the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Not we might be, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On who? And here we have the great reversal of the entire Old Testament. The shepherd would go to his flock and he would pick the perfect, spotless, without blemish, the lamb that was perfect. And he would take that lamb to Jerusalem and he would sacrifice it for his sins. On the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, all the sins of Israel would be declared forgiven until they sinned again. And the verses that were read for us in John 10, Jesus knew this. He said, I am the good shepherd. And the great reversal is not that the shepherd finds a sacrifice, he becomes the sacrifice. John the Baptist understood it. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the shepherd who lays down his life, who saves his sheep by his very own blood. That's why it's an eternal covenant. It's not a temporary covenant. Every year, over and over, making the same sacrifices for his own sins, Jesus was the perfect, the spotless Lamb of God. He is a shepherd who saves. But he goes on because it transforms the way we live. He is a shepherd that is alive. Look what it says in verse 21. May the God of peace who brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of his eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing so that you will do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, through the great shepherd. He is the shepherd who saves us. He is the shepherd who will equip us. Now look what he says in that verse, with every good thing. And if you stop there, you will completely misunderstand this. You will have a religious experience that says, God, you must give me good things. It's not just a good life. It's not just that God gives you everything you desire. Look at verse 21. What is this every good thing that he gives you? Can you see it? So that you will do as well. When you feel powerless, when your sin overwhelms you and you know that you're a Christian, you know that you've been saved and you've been redeemed, not because of things you have done, but God has given his son our perfect sacrifice. We are saved. And you say, but how can I live for God? You cannot live for God unless that great shepherd that is alive through Jesus Christ, he equips you to do his will. Without his equipping, you cannot do his will. But I declare to you this morning that our shepherd, the great shepherd, is alive. A shepherd who cares for his sheep, who takes you, and he gathers you in his arms, it says in Isaiah. And he leads those. Without his equipping, we cannot do his will. You can know it in your mind. You can have all the examples. You can say, I know what my sin is, and I try, and I try, and I can't follow you, Lord. Romans 8 says, by the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to our mortal bodies. The dynamic living presence of Jesus Christ by his Spirit in us. It is by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the body. By the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. And by this great shepherd who is guiding us, who is leading us, we will do his will. And you say, but it's not possible. I can't. Unless God works in me, unless God somehow changes me, that's the very next line. Working in us, that which is pleasing in his sight. God is not working for you. If you only see that the great shepherd works for you, you will make the same mistake, that he just gives you every good thing that you demand, that God owes you a good life, that this great shepherd who is alive is working for you. He's already done that by his death and his resurrection, and now this great shepherd works in you. And what is he doing when he works in you? That which is pleasing in his sight. That we would live to please God, this great shepherd who is guiding us. We are his sheep. We are following him. And he is working in us to please him. Now, what is amazing in these verses, it's not just, well, what do you think God wants you to do? And then just go out there and try to do it, because he says that which is pleasing in his sight, what he wants for us to do through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. And then we come to this wonderful close, this powerful benediction, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Eternal life. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, if we have hope for this life only, we are among men most to be pitied. If you are a Christian, if you go to church because it somehow makes you a better person, you will have a better life, then you are among men most to be pitied. Because this is eternal life. This is a prayer, an invocation, a benediction. May it be true of us. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of his eternal covenant, may God equip you with every good work. May he work in you to please him through Jesus Christ, our great shepherd. Hear the words of the Apostle Peter. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Isn't that the benediction? That he would equip us to live, that he'd work in us to please him, that he would remove our sin and bring us near and then transform our lives. He himself bore our sins in the body of the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, and here it is, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Jesus is alive. And if you are his sheep, he will shepherd you. May he do this for his glory. Amen. I want to invite you to pray with me. Father, in the connection between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, we see the cross. The road to life begins with death. The road to death that the world promises us will give us life. that you can have it all. You can have life now and be the God of your own destiny. But this way leads to death, though it looks like life. God, you are the perfect judge. And one day every human heart will be revealed, the secrets of every heart as we stand before you. I pray that we will accept the cross, what Jesus has done for us. And then we will know this benediction, that the great shepherd of our souls is alive. We are forgiven. Whatever lies are in the hearts of those in this room that struggle to accept your forgiveness, I pray that you would speak this message of hope and love. Forgiven. It is finished. And now, shepherd us. Lead us. Equip us. Work in us to live for you. As we declare that in Christ alone, our hope is found, the great shepherd of our souls. He is risen.